What is going to come out of this teaching this morning is that as long as you are a person of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, that God is going to allow your faith to be tested. Amen? It's part of the life of a person of faith. It is part of the life of a believer that God is going to have a deliberate program of testing our faith. Because in testing our faith, God is testing our character. Our character towards Him. God is testing our commitment towards Him and to His work. Amen? So, you know, the Bible says that we mustn't think it strange. We must not think it strange when we are tested. Because that's a part of God's agenda for our lives as people of faith. Amen? And so, because God allows us to be tested, it means that God is there with us. Amen? In the academic world, you know, whenever there is a teacher, and the teacher is the one who presents the test for the student to do. But the teacher prepares the student to pass the test. The teacher does not prepare the student to fail the test. The teacher prepares the student to pass the test. And the teacher helps the student to prepare in order to pass the test. And we must understand that when God decides that we are going to be tested, it's because He has already done some preparation in our lives, and we need to remember that He does not prepare us to fail, but He prepares us to pass the test. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, continue to thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You have entrusted Your salvation to us. We thank You that You have entrusted Your Holy Spirit to us. We thank You, Lord, that You have been and still is preparing us to do the work of Your kingdom. We thank You for the revelation that from time to time, Lord, You cause our faith to be tested, O God. Hallelujah. So that, Lord, we might grow in You, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask You to anoint Your words that will be spoken even now. Anoint me, Lord, to preach the gospel to the poor. Send me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I cast down every imagination, every spirit of error, every spirit of religion that would seek to exalt itself against the knowledge of God now, and I bring each and every such thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lord, let Your kingdom come. Continue to advance Your kingdom in this service, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, We're looking at Genesis chapter 22 and beginning at verse 1. Now, as a background, we know that Abraham and Sarah, they tried for many years to have a child. But Sarah was barren. And it wasn't until Abraham was about 100 years old, his body was now sexually dead. But at nearly 100 years old, they had a son. Amen? One son. They waited for that son. And that son was, the Bible calls him the son of the promise. The son of the promise. The promise through whom Jesus Christ came into the earth. And so, here we are in Genesis chapter 22. And that son that he waited on for so long, that miraculous son that caused Sarah to give birth, although she was not only barren, but she was also past that childbearing age. So it was a double miracle. Amen? And so God appears to Abraham now. He loved his son. And at this time, his son was now an adolescent or a young adult male. Around that age. And he loved that son. He enjoyed the fellowship with his son. And God came to him. And in the Bible says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Amen? Praise God. And let me just say it again. That even as God tested Abraham's faith, God is going to test our faith. And maybe right now, your faith is being tested. Hallelujah. But remember, God did not prepare you to fail the test. Amen? He did not prepare you to fail the test. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God will not test us more than we can bear. And with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. So whatever you are going through, you need to believe God. Believe God that he's not going to give you a test to fail. And that he's going to make a way of escape. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God, you know, Abraham feeling very spiritual now. Very satisfied in God. He has his son. And then the Bible says, let me just read James 1. James 1:13 says, James says, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. Amen? God is never tempted to do wrong. And he never tempts anyone else. In other words, the devil tempts people and God tests people. There's a difference. The devil tempts persons and God tests persons. Praise God. Satan tempts us in order for us to fall. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul, speaking to married couples, and listen to this, this is for married couples. Amen? He told them, do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time. Amen? There must be agreement. Praise God. So you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. I love that. God's assumption is that people who are married in the Lord, that they have times when they give themselves to prayer. They give themselves to their relationship with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Afterward, he said, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God tests us in order to confirm our faith. I want you to get that. Let me say it again. God tests us in order to confirm our faith. So if you're a young man and a young woman comes to seduce you, are you with me? A young woman comes to seduce you, or you're a young woman and a man comes to seduce you, it's a test. And that the purpose of that test is to confirm your faith. What does it mean to confirm your faith? To confirm your faith means that your faith in Jesus Christ is steadfast and it cannot be removed. There's no temptation that the devil can bring in your life that would cause your faith to be removed. Praise God. So God confirms your faith. Hallelujah. Exodus 20:20, it says, don't be afraid, Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you. Amen? God has come in this way to test you. I don't know what you're going through this morning, right? Maybe you're having a financial challenge. Maybe you're having some family challenge. Maybe you're having some relational challenge. Well, maybe you're having a job challenge. But what God is saying is that God is testing you, and that you should hold firm in Jesus. Don't allow the situation to shake your faith. Don't allow the situation to move you from God, from trusting in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, it says, for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. I love that. The fear of God, the fear of God keeps us from sinning. And the fear of God is not just talking about judgment, but it is talking about a love for God, a respect for God, a desire not to fail God. That is part of the fear of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is designed to keep you from sinning, or prove our commitment to God. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, Moses said to the people, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you. There's the word again. Humbling you and testing you to prove your character. Hallelujah. To prove your character. You know, this last week, I think it was on Friday, I heard about a prominent minister known worldwide ministry, that he has been unfaithful to his wife, and that he has left his wife. He has failed the test. His character has been compromised. Amen. And I do not say that in a judgmental way, but what I'm trying to say is this, is that God allows us to be tested. And part of that process is to test our character. What it means is that God is looking for character in His children. God is looking for character in His people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It says, and to find out, it says, to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey His commands. God is always interested. He's always interested to test us, to see if we will obey His commands under all circumstances. Praise God. Amen. You know, I went to buy some electrical material on Saturday morning. It was Friday morning. And I went to the clerk, and I gave him the list, and he typed up an invoice, and he said to me, sir, the amount due is $22,000. And then he bent forward and he said, but I am going to do you a big favor. So my antennas went up. I said, what do you mean? You mean I won't have to pay any GCT? He said, no man. I am going to do you a big favor and you will only pay $11,000. Now at that time, I could have lifted up my hand and said, God, you're a good God. But I said, no, what is this about? So I said, sir, I am a Christian. I declared myself. I am a Christian. I need to know, why are you going to give me a 50% discount? I said, you don't have to worry, man. It's good, man. It's good. I said, sir, why are you going to give me a 50% discount? He said to me, well, this is the discount that I give to distributors. I said, distributors? Sir, I am not a distributor. I said, what kind of distributor are you talking about? He said, people, he named some big companies, you know, some multinational companies that get that discount. So, now I know that was a test and that God was looking. God was looking. That was a test to test my character. Amen? That was a test to see whether or not I considered God bigger than $11,000. And so I said to him, sir, thank you very much. I'll pay $22,000. And you could see that he felt cute. You know, he felt cute. I suppose he was convicted. But I said, I'll pay the $22,000, sir. Thank you very much for your kind offer. Amen? And then somebody came along now, somebody that I know, and they said, Pastor! How you do? Praise God. Well, I suppose that put the nail in the coffin. Praise the Lord. Amen? What a good thing. I stood firm for Jesus. Amen? Praise God. So, you know, we need to understand that we are special to God. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. You know, we're God's nation, a people belonging to God. God is proud of us. And you know, just like Job, you know, when Job was being tested, you know, God and Satan said, what about Job? God said, listen, man, touch him. Job loved me, man. Job is a man of character. Job will never turn his back on me. And Job stood ground. Amen? It was very difficult, but Job stood ground. Amen? And God is saying, coronavirus, job loss, money being devalued, money being scarce, keep your character in God. Amen. Hold your head high in Jesus. Do not bow. Do not bow to the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. God is able. God is able. Abundantly able. All of our needs to supply. Praise God. So, Abraham answered as a servant, even as Moses answered as a servant. In Exodus 3:4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Moses replied, in 1 Samuel 3:10 we read, "And the Lord came and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel replied, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" Hallelujah. We need to remember that we are not only God's children, but we are also his servants. Hallelujah. And we must maintain a position of humility with God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6-9. The Bible says, "So be truly glad. Be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little time." Songwriter says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Peter said, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine." Amen. They will show that your faith is genuine. The suggestion here is that there are persons who say they are of faith, but their faith is not genuine. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is, you know, it's like my wife. She was on in Amazon, I think, and she saw what appeared to be a lovely pair of men's shoe, and she said, "Ian, you should get one of these." So I said, "What is it made of?" She said, it looks like leather." I said, "No, could you just read the fine print? What is it made of?" And when she read the fine print, it was not genuine leather. Amen. And what we need to understand is that when we are being tested, that God is reading the fine print of our hearts to see if we are genuine, we have a genuine faith. Amen? Very important. Hallelujah. It says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine." Praise God. Hallelujah. "It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials," how many trials? Many trials. Hallelujah. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, "Again, another one." You know, it's like they're just back to back. But he says, "When your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." So you will be compensated. You will be blessed. The Bible says it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he says in verse 8 of 1 Peter 1, he says, You love him even though you have never seen him. Praise God. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Praise God. So what is it saying, you know, is that when we are going through tests, we can have a glorious, inexpressible joy. Why? Because we know that the test that we are going through, it has been put on by God. And that the purpose of the test is to test the genuineness of our faith. We know that God and all the angels are looking on. And they are cheering us on. They are encouraging us to pass the test. So we can have joy. Why? Because with God we will pass. Amen? And we will be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Praise God. So, going back to Genesis chapter 22 now. Verse 2. So, remember now, Abraham had his son at about 100 years old. He was biologically dead. His wife was biologically dead. But God gave them a son. Son of the promise. Amen? And then, here is the test now. What a test. What would you do if you were tested like this? Praise God. He said, God said to Abraham, take your son. Abraham must have said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your only son. Yes, Lord. I don't think Abraham ever imagined that the next words that came out of God's mouth. Take your son, your only son. And God said, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. Boy, that's a boost, you know. Boost him up, you know. Who you love so much. And go to the land of Moriah. Boy, praise God. Even now, you know, Abraham was saying, boy, you know, God is moving into a better land, a more prosperous land, a happy land. And then he said, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Wow. Wow. I wonder how Abraham felt. Sacrifice as what? A burnt offering. You know, that means that he had to kill the son and then burn the son to ashes. That one son, that son whom he loved so much. And what was God doing? God was testing Abraham's character. Amen? He was testing Abraham's character. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Genesis 21:12, it says, just to give you a little more background, but God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. And yet God asked him to sacrifice that son. In Galatians 4:23, the son, it says, the son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's purpose. It was born in a human attempt. And you know, as I read that, I want to caution you that you have to be careful to not to engage in human attempts in order to fulfill God's purposes for your life. It can bring a lot of trouble, as it did with Ishmael and his descendants to this very day. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Amen? But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. In other words, God has already decided how, when, where each of us will be blessed. And we need to just discern how God is moving. Amen? And where he's going. In verse 3 of Genesis 22, it says, the next morning, Abraham got up early. Praise God. He saddled the donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. So, he decided to obey God. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. Listen to his words. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Think about that. We know that although God told Abraham he should offer Isaac as a sacrifice, Abraham told his servants, we will worship there, and then we will come right back. Do you think that Abraham planned to disobey God? Listen to those words. In other words, if he came back with Isaac, then it meant that Isaac would still be alive. Did he plan to disobey God? Romans 4:17 tells us, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life. You heard that? Now this didn't have anything to do with Mount Moriah. It had to do with he being biologically dead. Amen? But the point I want to make is that he had a basic belief that God was able to bring back the dead to life. That was his faith from long ago, that God could bring back the dead to life. And it says Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Brethren, wherever you are now, whatever you are going through, whatever you have lost, you heard what Abraham believed about God? God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Praise God. So you might be at a place where you are saying, I have nothing left. I have lost everything. Well, praise God. We serve a God who is able to create new things out of nothing. And that's why I love God. That's why I love God. Man can't do that. Man cannot do that. Satan cannot do that. Only God can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:17-19. It says, it was by faith. Watch this now. Remember, I asked the question, was Abraham planning to disobey God once he got up to the spot on Mount Moriah and not sacrifice Isaac? Because he said, the boy and I are going to return after we worship. Amen? But Hebrews 11:17-19 gives us some insight into what was going on in Abraham's mind. It says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith. When God was testing him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Wow. Yet, he said to the servants, my son and I were going to come back. Praise God. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, Abraham reasoned. You know, people of faith, do you know that people of faith reason differently from the people of the world? Yes. The Bible says, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And if God brought him back to life again, it meant then that he and the boy would return to the servants after worship, after the resurrection of Isaac. That was his thinking. That was his reasoning. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, come, let's reason together. Hallelujah. God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Why? Because in his heart, he released him to die. In his heart, he released him to be sacrificed unto God. Amen? In obedience to God. And in doing that, he received his son back from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Genesis 22, Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders. Amen? Praise God. In other words, he was carrying his own cross. While he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, and this must have been very piercing to his heart. Very piercing. He said, Father, and Abraham said, yes, my son. Abraham replied, yes, my son. And Isaac said, we have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? What a question. Abraham knew that Isaac was to be that burnt offering. And this son, there's a son whom he loves so much. His only son of the promise. Not his only son, but only son of the promise. Was to be offered as a burnt offering. God, Abraham said, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. Wow. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Praise God. How many of us in here would be prepared to do that? And Abraham picked up the knife. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. And the voice said, don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know, I love that. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Praise God. Amen. Is there anything in your life that you are withholding from God? Is there anything or anyone that God has told you to give up, and you are still holding on? Abraham passed the test. He got 100%. God wants you to pass your test. He wants you to get 100%. I want to encourage you. If you are holding back anything from God, give it to God. Give it to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Bible says, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. That's a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And you know, whatever you are going through, I want you to hold on to that proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. But if you notice, Abraham displayed character. Amen? He was obedient to God. He yielded to God. He was determined to obey God no matter what. And God provided. And those are conditions for God to work in your life. Hallelujah. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me. You know, there are lots of teachings on the blessings of Abraham, and that we should claim it. We should possess it. But there's not much teaching that says that, you know, in order to claim it, in order to possess it, we have to obey God. We have to prepare to give to God whatever God requires of us. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, God will test us to see if we will obey him no matter what the cost. Hallelujah. God will test us to see whether there is anything in our lives that we will withhold from him. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. That's to fear the Lord. When we fear the Lord, we not only believe in God, but we are prepared to obey God no matter what the cost. Do you know that you can believe that there is a God and yet you are not obeying God? Do you know, James says, you believe that there is a God? He says, The devil believes. The devil believes that there is a God. So if you believe that there is a God, you're not ahead of the devil, because the devil believes that there is a God. But the difference is, ought to be, that we not only believe, but we obey God. The devil cannot obey God. Why? Because he's a rebel. He cannot obey God. He's against God and against all of God's people. Amen? That's his nature. That's his character. We can trust God in everything. Everything. Because the Bible tells us that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. All things. It's an open checkbook. An open checkbook. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in closing, as I reflected on this passage, I noted that even as God spared the life of Abraham's son, watch this, he did not spare the life of his own son, Jesus Christ. I said, wow. He spared Isaac, but he didn't spare Jesus. Concerning Jesus, Matthew 26:39 tells us, he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Isaac never went that far, you know. Isaac just said, Father, I see wood, I see fire, where's the sacrifice? But here, God's son was saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Despite his agony, God did not spare his son. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Abraham believed that even if he killed Isaac, God could raise him from the dead. That's why he was willing to go through it. Amen. And he believed God would do that. Watch this. God allowed Jesus to die for our sins because he knew he would raise him from the dead after 3 days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Amen. He knew he would raise him from the dead after 3 days, thus restoring fellowship with his son. That lamb that was caught in the thicket represented Jesus. Amen. That lamb that was caught in the thicket represented Jesus. Can we stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Jesus died for our sins so that every sinner can be saved, so that every sinner can have eternal life. Amen. Praise God. You see, Isaac did not have to die because God provided a lamb. Amen. Isaac did not have to die. He did not have to be sacrificed by his father because God provided a lamb, a sacrificial lamb. Amen. You and I don't don't have to undergo sacrificial activity. Our bodies don't have to be sacrificed because God provided Jesus as that lamb who died on our behalf and has taken away the sins of the world. Amen. So we don't have to spend eternity in hell with the devil, because Jesus is that lamb that was caught in the thicket of conspiracy and lying and was sentenced to death, although he was found not guilty. Hallelujah. So if you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, I want you to say this prayer after me. And if you are here, you can come and talk to me afterwards. If you are online, you know, you can either try and get in touch with us via our website or speak to somebody. But let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your salvation. I thank you that you gave Jesus Christ to die on my behalf. That by the shedding of his blood, I might receive forgiveness of my sins. Lord, I accept the sacrificial work which Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I ask you to save me, Lord, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of your Holy Spirit. I give my body, my soul, and my spirit to you, Lord. Make me a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to pray for anyone having any throat disorder, having any throat disorder here in the sanctuary. Well, if you're online, I'll pray for you. And any eye ailment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Let's just stand again, because I want to pray for everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your message, the trial of our faith. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that all things work together to the good of them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. We thank you, Lord, that every test that we go through, you have allowed it to prove our character and our commitment to you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to fill us with your faith and with your love. We pray that you'll continue to give us courage as we walk with you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the throat disorder, and I speak healing to that throat now in the name of Jesus. I speak to that eye ailment, that eye disorder, and I speak healing to that eye now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, cause your word to take root in our hearts and to spring up and to bring forth much fruit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.